On a morning show from WRCO, Carrie Stoltz, Communications and Marketing Director with the Richland School District, is our guest here in this first part of the show. Carrie, we have a lot of positive things to talk about this fall at RCHS, don't we?
We do. It's been just an awesome fall. We're getting ready for winter. Winter sports are right around the corner, and some the leaves are down, and, you know, I'm not going to say the four-letter S word quite yet. It'll be here before we know it, and we're all excited for hitting the winter season.
Yeah. As much as I like talking to Coach Steve Board, or, you know, now he's Administrator Board, but, you know, those snowy mornings, I'm not a fan, so hopefully it's a while before he calls.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, let's hope.
Oh, well. Yeah, some real positive things. I attended Greece. I know you did as well. Didn't the cast and crew do a remarkable job?
They were awesome. They were, it was a great night for everyone. They had great shows, three great shows. Lots of people coming from the community. The students all got tickets from the Richland Foundation. And so students were there. A ton of students were there supporting their other classmates. And the kids are just, it was so great. It was so great to see them really out of their element. They were transformed up there. I mean, people would say, you know, you're looking at the program of who is it? And then you're shocked to see that it's, you know, a kid that you've seen on the soccer field is playing a lead role, or Maddie as Sandy. And it was just crazy that these kids can transform so wildly with a little hair and makeup and costuming, and that they do so many things. They're all just so involved. And I know it's hard on directors, Ms. Niemeyer, and any musical director, but it's just so cool to see our kids being so involved in so many things. And it's an opportunity that doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah, it's so cool, as you mentioned, and I don't know a lot of the kids personally, but, you know, I'm told that, oh, this person is really quiet, typically, and all of a sudden, you know, you give them another character and a part to play, and they're just totally different, aren't
they? Rise to the occasion, for sure. It is amazing what that stage will do to some people, just cracks their shell wide open. So it's so neat to see our kids up there and performing, and they put so much work into it. It was weeks and weeks and weeks, and especially when they are so involved, they're being pulled in multiple directions, and so to really get that time on stage and their time to shine was really fantastic.
It was, and they're real stewards for the community. A lot of people came in from outside the area to see the show.
They did. We saw, I know some folks from Highland who were there the night that we were there, and Ms. Niemeyer, some of her family sat behind us on Saturday night, and it was great to see a community event, really. I mean, it was at the high school, and the high school kids were doing it, but man, the community came out and supported our kids, and we really, really appreciate it. The kids do too. It's amazing to see them performing for an audience and really see them light up in front of, you know, their family is there sometimes, but even people that they know from the community, you know, such as yourself, or getting to be on stage and really seeing your community support you means so much to all of them.
And the choir then had to transition, and they had to perform at the Veterans Day Assembly on Monday.
They did. It was a quick turnaround. Ms. Niemeyer, I happened to talk to her, and she's like, I just got to make it to Monday at noon, because they had to get through that still. And they have lots of stuff coming up too. There's like Christmas concerts, and those are all on the docket. But yeah, it was a quick turnaround, but an awesome day at the Veterans Program. I know the intermediate and primary school had programs as well. Some of theirs involved like the flag folding, which is just always a really unique ceremony to see, and something that, you know, if you don't know what it is, you can look it up, but it's like 13 folds, and they all mean something, and getting that flag there, and really, especially the littles, kind of showing them that this isn't just, you know, a flag folded up in three parts. It all has a symbolism and a meaning, and that was really cool. And even a moment of silence at the high school happened, and it was a great way to honor our veterans. And there's so many of them. I don't think we realize how many vets are in our community, and just how involved they are in so many different things, and the role that our veterans organizations play in the community is just really awesome. And we had all the bands there, the middle school, the high school, the choir all performed. they did a great job, and it was a really, really great day, really great ceremony. The gym was full, so nice to see us being able to support our community the way our community supports us.
And it's nice to see the students. I mean, it's a great lesson for them, a great history lesson and whatnot, but nice to see them so mature. Really, it is.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. Sometimes we see the other side. But it was a great day. I think we all know, really, especially we're coming into Thanksgiving now, like, our country is something we really are thankful for, and hopefully we're instilling that in our kids too, that, you know, right or wrong, and love it, you know, policies or that kind of thing or don't. It's, we are really, really lucky to live where we do in the U.S. and to live where we do in Richland Center, Richland County.
You have a lot of things coming up. I know winter sports are under now with practice. The girls started practice on Monday.
They did. The girls actually, I think, have a scrimmage on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then first game on Tuesday, which you mentioned you will be doing the call for.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be out of my 2-week retirement and back at it.
Got a nice nap. I got to go to bed before.
A little earlier, yeah.
they're gearing up, ready to go. And then I know basketball starts practice on Monday. Wrestling starts practice on Monday. Cheer is having their clinic starting on Monday. So we are, yeah, I hope you enjoyed the 2-week break, Phil, because that's all you're going to get.
Hit the ground running. Oh, and then we're getting close to the holidays. I know the craft fair season is big in the Richland District too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. The high school hosts. Ours is on Saturday, the 28th, I want to say. It was 21st, something like
it's
that.
It's the week before, so it'll be the 23rd.
23rd, probably. Great. Yeah. Keep me honest. there's one at the high school, and it's always really well attended. I always hear people talk about the wreaths, which I think is maybe at the community center even, but there's lots of great things. We're still able to get exhibitors if somebody is looking to exhibit still and would like to grab a spot. It's always really nice to see the high school set up for it, and there's plenty of room to get through. I'm usually there with Center Stars Volleyball Club selling cheese spread, but it's really nice. There's nice wide aisles and lots of places to be, very well lit, and it's just a great day to come in. I know we're having Santa Claus and the Grinch will be making appearances,
wow.
So it will be a fun time to see them. They usually have a little stand set up so kids can get pictures with them, and it is a fun, really fun family day, even though I know a lot of the dads are, and moms, all the hunters in the family may not be available, but it's a great, great day to see people come in and come to the high school and see it, you know, even if they're not there for a game or something else, just to come in and see us.
And it's a nice fundraiser for a few organizations at the school, isn't it?
It is. The Pep Club is the main one. They're the ones who are hosting it. And they do a lot with the assemblies and that kind of stuff that we have for our athletics. So they are there. They are running around giving meals are included for exhibitors. So they do a lot of that work. And it's a great day and a long day, but a great day. And it's, you know, come and buy some stuff and get some Christmas shopping done. And a great day to do that for sure.
Already a week away from tomorrow. There's a blood drive coming up as well, isn't there, at the school?
Yeah, there is. The student council hosts a couple blood drives a year, and their first one is the 21st. It's at the high school, and they are promoting it and getting the word out there that they are doing this for the community and for our blood center. The need is always there, and it's a great cause that we can support. And I don't know exactly the requirements, but you can log on to, I think it's redcross.org, and sign up for an appointment slot, and they would love to see you and love to have you come donate with us.
Good. That's on the 21st. What are some other things going on with possibly the intermediate school or the primary school? Do you have some fun things going on at that level?
Their PATT and PTO are their parent-teacher organizations, if that's more familiar to people. They are doing some really fun things. They did trick-or-treat and pumpkin painting. I got some great pictures from that. Lego night. They're doing just a lot of fun stuff to get those kids involved and get the parents involved too at those locations. And then the greenhouse is up at the intermediate school. They've been working on that. Jennifer Judd was here a couple months ago with us talking about that. I think they're having a really great year. I go out there every once in a while, and man, the kids are involved. We had the governor visit earlier at intermediate school. So it's been a really busy fall for all of them and a great fall. Lots of fun things going on there too.
they have things that they have talked about on the show that are really fun, like the book vending machine, for lack of a better term. But that just always fascinates me. And the kids still taking advantage of that?
They are. And reading is a huge initiative for the district. We have Read Across the Hive still going on. So even in the district office, ours happens to be on Monday. So every Monday from 1:15 to 1:45, we are all nose in a book. No electronics, reading. It's really an initiative for the district to let our kids know that reading is a lifetime activity and it's fun for all, and that it is, it's really something you can do, you should do, you will do for a lifetime, and getting them to see adults in their world who also enjoy reading and are taking time out of their day to do it.
Indeed. What are you reading right now?
So I'm working on The Boys in the Boat, which I'm really enjoying, and then a couple children's books. One is called Nim's Island, so I'm working through that one, and I'm not very far, so if anybody's read it, don't spoil it for me. If any of the kids out there.
Wow. And it's interesting how, you know, you got the first quarter done, you get into the second quarter, and then you have three major holidays in the second.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, so we have one choir concert coming up before Thanksgiving, and then a bunch in that kind of intermediate space. And even December is just going to fly. We're only in school for, I think, 3 weeks in December, and there's a lot of basketball to get in there, and a lot of activities, a lot of concerts. The intermediate school will have one, too, in there. So there's a lot of stuff to do in there, but we can't forget about our, you know, second quarter academics as well. There was a change at the high school at quarter. Obviously, the kids got new classes, and so that was an adjustment, I'm sure, for people. There were some scheduled changes there, but I think everyone's kind of settled in now and is where they're going to be.
One other winter sports activity that I failed to mention is the boys and girls teams heading to Fiserv Forum to play on the Bucks floor. How fun is that?
It was very fun. I've never been. I will hopefully go this year. But I've been to a couple Bucks games, and like, what an atmosphere. I can't imagine doing that as a high school student. I mean, going in as an adult and a spectator is already overwhelming. And then to go and like play on the floor will be a great opportunity for all those kids. And how cool. I think this is the third year maybe that they've done it. So what an opportunity for our kids to get out there and play on a professional court.
Yes. So it's Friday, December 5th, and it's at Fiserv. It's during the day on that Friday. I believe you're selling tickets, aren't you, for that?
Brian would probably know better, but I'm sure.
Brian Poles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So at least for the boys. And then the girls are potentially, we got an email about it just recently. So let me see if I can pop that up.
They're playing Baraboo that day, which I think they've played in the last two or three years. But it's a great, you know, both schools have agreed to do that, and it works out really well.
Yeah, and we're also they're selling tickets to a Bucks game, and it's the Sunday, February 9th game against Philadelphia. So if you are a basketball fan and want to take in a game at Fiserv that the Bucks are playing, not the Hornets. Uh-huh. I'm just sure that you can find a player or two who would love to sell you some tickets for that too.
Wonderful. Good. Anything else you'd like to add, Carrie?
I don't think so. We're excited for the year and the month, and I'm sure some kiddos are counting down the days till Thanksgiving break, but there's a lot of good work to do here in the next 2 weeks while we're still in school. And we're just looking forward to having a great winter season at the high school and in the district.
Does the school go to school then through that Wednesday before Thanksgiving? Is it a typical break?
I think we're off Wednesday, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
So, and some fun activities for that Tuesday as well. So we'll try and engage the kids a little bit before we send them off to enjoy a nice holiday.
Great. Well, always good to hear from you. Nice to hear that some fun things are going on in the district, and look forward to seeing you again in December then.
Sounds good. Thanks,
you bet.
Phil.
Carrie Stoll's joining us here, Communications and Marketing Director for the Richland School District. Welcome back to our morning show visit. Officer Jared Wilson is here from the Richland Center Police Department, and also he is on school grounds again this year at the Richland Center High School facility there. And has it been a good school year so far, Jared?
It has been a good school year. Thanks for having me on today. As far as general safety, it's been good. Also, I've had less reports, less issues with breaking, you know, normal school rules. For instance, compared last quarter to this year, we're down significantly in, specifically speaking, vape violations. Last year at this time, we had 13 violations. This year, we're down all the way to 3. So that especially makes it for a good start to the year.
Could you talk about vape detectors that you have at the school?
Yes. So the district, in partnership with the Richland County Crime Stoppers, made a purchase of, I think it's 38 vape detectors. It might be a couple more or less than that, but the IT department at the high school has been working hard at installing those detectors in areas like locker rooms, bathrooms, areas that we found to be common places for, unfortunately, students to use a vape device. And we've really found that at the beginning of installation last year, you know, we were catching students vaping in the bathrooms. We'd get an alert, or I would get an alert. The principals would get an alert on our phones. We would go to that location and then find the student exiting the bathroom. Throughout some questioning by the principal staff with me kind of on hand, we would find that the student would be in possession of a vape. Citation would be issued. But now that students are learning and community is learning that we have these detectors, it's been a fantastic deterrent to not even bring those in the building. Like I said earlier, we went from 13 in first quarter to 3 this quarter. It's been a significant change. Also, you know, for me in law enforcement, I try to think of, well, are they working, or is it the students have found a way around them? But one example to kind of prove that they are working is we would have all kinds of tips that student so-and-so has a vape on them, and then we need to follow up on that. But not only are the vape detectors not going off, we're also not getting those tips from other students that they have seen students with them.
How does the vape detector work then? Does it detect the smoke, I guess, or whatever that comes off of them, or how does it work?
Yeah, so they're specifically designed to detect the vapor smoke that is emitted from your lungs, really, when you exhale that vapor. We have tested them with other products and other things, and they should have shown to be very accurate with only detecting that vapor product. So vapor detectors are in the ceilings. You know, the vapor, as when it's exhaled, it rises into the air, and then that vape detector can detect the vape smoke. Like I said, it sends an alert to my phone, as well as the principal's phones, and then unfortunately the student that's vaping in the bathroom will be caught soon thereafter.
Do you get alerts when adults are there for after-school activities?
Yeah, so that's a good thing to bring up for general public. If they're visiting the buildings in our district, the vape detectors are on all the time. Just a reminder, it's against policy at the school, as well as state statutes, for anyone to be not bringing any kind of tobacco or nicotine product on school grounds, because those vape detectors have gone off during after-school activities as well.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Yeah. You've been in the classrooms recently, kind of educating the youth. Can you tell us about that, Jared?
Yeah, so last time I was in here was a few weeks ago. We, at the police department, we wanted to make the community aware that we'd be in sixth grade classrooms teaching our P program, Police Education, Addiction, and Tools, to make our sixth graders aware of what's out there in the community as far as drugs or nicotine products and alcohol. How to recognize it, why it's bad for you, and then how to overcome being susceptible to using those things. So today, actually, this week, we completed our third session, and then we'll have one more week next week for our four-week session, and then we'll pick it up again in the spring and teach the other two sixth-grade classes.
Mm-hmm. How's the reception from the kids?
Seems to be going well. You know, add a little bit of Officer Wilson's sarcasm and humor, and it makes it go a little better. Officer Dyhoff is great, too. She's, you know, she's basically the officer that's pioneered this program since we stopped using Counteract, so she's been great. But the students, they seem to enjoy it, and, you know, you start talking about the ingredients that are found in these products, like vape devices and other things, and talking about formaldehyde or, you know, other bad ingredients like that. And they're pretty shocked, you know. They see the advertising for the vape, and it might be a raspberry flavor, but, you know, you break it down into what's actually in these things, and it's a big learning curve.
I imagine a lot of students say, I'm never going to do that, and hopefully you get the word out that most of the majority don't ever do it, right?
Yeah. We talk about peer pressure. We talk about how your peers may be using these things and making them available to you, and now you know why it's bad. We give you some tools on what to say and do to avoid that peer pressure, to avoid that.
How did it go? You had an event for Halloween as well, didn't you?
Yeah, McGruff from Crime Stoppers accompanied me to primary, intermediate, and St. Mary's to discuss some Halloween safety tips. McGruff usually likes to steal the show, donning maybe a mask or a bright blue wig to match a police department uniform. But talking about correct ways to wear costumes, trying to stay lit at night as it starts to get dark while trick-or-treating, use of glow sticks, going with a parent, crossing intersections and while walking down the sidewalk, you know, proper etiquette when approaching those homes. It always goes well. And like I said, McGruff is always a big hit with those students.
I'll bet. Let's talk a little bit about if the school does have a lockdown or, you know, a shutdown, maybe the difference between those. You know, sometimes in the community, news will spread like wildfire. Oh, the school's locked down. But it isn't always necessary for something. Earlier this year was a medical emergency, I think, when you were shut down once.
That's right. So at the police department, I've always been fortunate being able to go to lots of trainings. Chief Billy Jones is great about sending us to trainings. And one recent one that I attended was on a foundation called the I Love You Guys. It's a foundation that was created by parents whose daughter, unfortunately, was a victim to an active shooter situation. They started this foundation with procedures or protocols on how to react to an active threat event or other event. So we have incorporated that into the district. It's a lot of the same as far as our training goes and how we react. However, there is some new verbiage, different things that we have to overcome different scenarios, or things such as we still have lockdown, which would be any kind of active threat inside the building or coming to the building. We have a secure, if there's a threat outside in the community, we can lock doors. We also have, instead of a shelter in place, we now go to a hold, which I think is less scary. It sounds less scary when it's just a hold. You know, you hear shelter in place, and that can sometimes be confused with a lockdown. But a hold can be used for various things, even like you had mentioned, a medical event where, you know, in the community we have ambulance calls, and the school districts like their own community as well. We have medical calls as well. So EMS may be coming to the building for various reasons, and we could go to a hold situation.
In a hold situation, then, do students stay right in the classroom then? They don't move to the other classroom, or how does that work?
Yeah, the main purpose of it would be to keep the hallways clear for EMS staff or law enforcement entering the building.
Having you in the building, too, you know, you've got somebody in on the inside if something does occur, and then I'm presuming, you know, officers would, you know, come to the building then, and that way, you know, you're covered on both sides. That's certainly an advantage, isn't it?
Right. For fast, effective communication, you know, I still have my portable radio, can contact dispatch quickly, coordinate a location for EMS to which door to go to. Just getting personnel in there quicker has been huge for our district.
So you've been there now well over a year. Are you getting a pretty good rapport with the students then, Jared?
I'd like to think so. Yeah. You know, pretty active in, you know, lunchtime, being in the lunchroom. I've been fortunate. I try to be on site for areas of large congregation of students. So I got to take in the Grease musical. It was great.
Wasn't that good?
Students and staff did a great job with that. But, you know, got to watch that, but also being in law enforcement, always in the back of your head, you know, when are those opportune times for a bad actor to take advantage of situations? And I always keep that in mind for, you know, where should I be now? And it works to my advantage to where I can, you know, partake in those kind of musicals, but I'm also there for other reasons as well.
Sure. You bet. Officer Wilson joining us from the Richland School District on this portion of today's morning show. Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement in Dodgeville joins us. Well, Tom, I haven't seen any snow yet. Have you?
Well, you know what? I did see some on the news in Colorado, but that's not close by. But it's nice to know it's coming eventually. But we do have some programs to encourage you to come in. Currently, our Aaron's line has up to $150 off for discounts on some of the deluxe models. And we also have a $50 attachment deal where you buy $50 worth of attachments and you get 2 years more on your warranty. So it goes from 3 to 5 years. So it's a really good program. In the past, it was been used differently, but it's a good program if you're looking at long-range owning a product that'll last 50 years. So knowing that, here at Miller Rittman, we handle the Aaron's line, and we also handle the Husqvarna line, and Husqvarna's got a great product as well. We basically range from about $900 and up. So if you're thinking about a snowblower and or thrower, you're looking at something that's going to last 50 years. So keep that in mind. I know it's not fun to talk about, but you know, Phil, the honest truth is the heat degree days every year stays about the same within a half a degree. So if we have a very mild fall, more than likely we're going to have an extremely cold winter or an extremely cold spring. So we all have to look at the facts that things don't change from year to year that much. But we've had some awful good weather, and thank you for that, Phil. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Absolutely. See, what I always say is snow is inevitable, but the longer we can push it off, that shortens up winter perhaps, right?
It does, except that if it's mild, you could have a very late spring. And sometimes those snows in March aren't so fun, and if they come in April, it's very frustrating for a lot of people. But neither nor. I always say be prepared, and if you've ever been thinking about a snow thrower, now's the time to do it. Along with that, our company has a great program going on right now with electric tools. Our electric brand, of course, is Husqvarna, and the homeowner items have 20% off right now. That's just unheard of. It's a great deal, and these machines are designed so you can interchange batteries and go back and forth and et cetera. And that also includes our walk-behind self-propelled mower that's electric, and that's 20% off. So that's a really good deal right now. If you've been thinking about a self-propelled mower and you want to go electric, this is one of the more commercial style. And with 20% off, it gives you a great chance to buy it. Also, our handheld blowers, we have a couple of them that have basically $70 to $80 off. And we have some chainsaws that are $80 to $120 off right now. So these are on the gas side. So keep that in mind. Husqvarna always has programs. They revert from month to month. Otherwise, our entire Husqvarna line for the balance of this year will have a standard 10% off on all items. So that makes it very easy for people to realize that we're the place to come because basically we buy in large quantities. It allows us to pass on the savings. And because we do that, we want you to come here. That 10% off is not available elsewhere. So keep that in mind as far as you're doing business with us. We want to make sure you're happy. When you come down, you're going to come into the largest showroom probably in the area, filled with lawnmowers, 29 different models, and, of course, a lot of other things. We are in the lawnmower business, and we're also in the rental business. So everything's inside. We have, all together with all of our space and everything, we have about 27,000 square feet. So you don't have to be out in the cold to look at things. You can come right inside the door. Phil, we're not hard to find. We're here at Dodgeville, Wisconsin at 4948 Highway YZ. Right across the Midwest Roofing, and of course those little guys, Farm and Fleet, their lights were on this morning, so another day. So we'll hope they stay there for a while. We're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to noon on Saturday. If you go to www.MuellerRental.com, that's our internet site, you'll see not only our specials and all the other things, but you'll see our rental rates and et cetera. So if you've never rented anything, go to our rental rates and it tells you what the charges are. Go to Craigslist on the left-hand side, punch in Mueller, and you'll have a chance to see our used. And by the way, we've got some great buys on used, and we are trading on a regular basis. We have quite a few more in just recently, so keep that in mind. But the best thing to understand that we're Aaron's, Gravely, Husqvarna, Wacker Neuson, and Landmaster, Landmaster's UTV line. Everything's on sale right now. There really is some fantastic deals, but you won't know unless you show up. So stop in and visit us. You'll find out that we're very friendly, not afraid to help you out, and we won't steer you wrong. We'll take the time and make sure you end up with the right product.
You're always swinging deals. You're a real swinger there, Tom.
Well, hopefully not the way you're thinking.
Tom Mueller, Mueller Implement in Dodgeville for our Friday report.
Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. It's 6:30. News Time is sponsored by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies caring for you and about you, and by BL Signs for all of your business signage needs. Today, patchy fog could be around the area, but otherwise it's going to be cloudy and breezy with some rain coming in this afternoon, maybe some heavy rain tonight. A high today expected to reach around 56 degrees.
Whenever you're in southwest Wisconsin, you're never far from someone who trusts BL Signs. From the van with a sleek wrap you're meeting to the business sign that welcomes you before you step out of the car or the restaurant sign that makes your mouth water, BL Signs is behind it all. With a reputation for delivering projects on time, on budget, and with the highest quality, BL Signs of Richland Center is your go-to for all things signage. Visit them online today at blsignage.com.
I'm Phil Neve for WRCO News. A month-long jury trial begins today for a Shawano County man accused of homicide. Michael Ingold is accused of strangling a woman to death during an argument in the summer of 2022. The case has been scheduled for trial at least three times, only be delayed as both sides went back and forth over the evidence, including previous comments by Ingold and expert testimony as well. Today is reserved for the consideration of various motions, with a jury reporting for duty tomorrow, according to court records. A total of 23 days have been reserved for the trial, ending on December 20th. There will also be a break for Thanksgiving next Thursday and Friday. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is unveiling a new tool to help local organizations track and respond to overdoses. Director of Substance Abuse Initiatives Michelle Hayes says the suspected overdose alerts for rapid response systems will include data from multiple sources. The program will send out automated messages and emails to users when a certain number of incidents take place. Access to the system is available to professionals at approved organizations, and more info is available on the DHS website. Governor Tony Evers is announcing $1 million in grant funding to address teacher shortages in Wisconsin. The money is headed to the Teacher Training and Recruitment Program. Wisconsin nonprofit organizations can apply for up to $500,000 to recruit, train, and license teachers to meet the Department of Public Instruction's guidelines for serving qualifying school districts. Evers says the grant program will put much-needed funding into the state's educator pipeline. A 2023 report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum shows the average annual teacher turnover rate from 2009 through 2023 was 11.5%, reaching as high as 15.8% during the 2022-23 school year. Rather than sun lamps and more energy spent to beat the winter blues, maybe try out the Scandinavian concept of hygge. Yale Madison professor Klaus Anderson says spending more time with friends and family in cozy conditions is the key. Anderson says it's that sense of community and togetherness that can help push back at the long dark of winter months, and that sharing time with others can help keep us a little happier. There were fewer citations and ejections at Saturday night's Badgers football game. UW-Madison police say only 17 people were cited while the Badgers and the Ducks played at Camp Randall. That included several underage drinking violations and a few trespassing and theft incidents. 16 people were tossed from the stadium. Two people had blood alcohol contents over 2.0, were then taken to the hospital for detox as well. A crucial step forward for a pipeline project in northern Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has granted permits requiring for Enbridge Energy to reroute its Line 5 pipeline around the land of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Enbridge must adhere to more than 200 specific conditions included in the permits to ensure it meets state standards for wetlands and waterways. Environmental and tribal activists remain opposed, citing potential wetland and wildlife destruction or contamination and potential oil spills. Enbridge must complete the 41-mile-long project around the Bad River Reservation by November of 2027, hire DNR-approved environmental monitors, and allow DNR employees to access the site during reasonable hours. This month, the American Red Cross is asking donors to gather their friends and be there for patients by making a blood or platelet donation. Festive activities and busy calendars this time of year can disrupt normal routines, leading to a drop in blood donation appointments. Eligible individuals are encouraged to make donating blood a priority, especially those with type O blood and those giving platelets. Two blood drives will be held this Thursday. The first will be from 8:30 until 1:30 at Kickapoo High School. The second will be from 9 until 2 at Richland Center High School. Those wishing to help patients make memories this holiday season can book a blood or platelet donation appointment by calling the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting redcrossblood.org, or also the number 1-800-733-2767. The Orchard Manor Committee of Grant County Board Committee has approved reducing the Orchard Manor Skilled Nursing Facility's licensed beds from 99 to 74. This decision reflects a thoughtful and data-driven approach to adapting to evolving healthcare needs and market conditions. The factors influencing this change include sustained census trends over the past 4 years, the financial burden of a $170 monthly state bed tax per bed, ongoing staffing challenges within the healthcare industry, and the growing preference for private rooms in long-term care. It is important to emphasize that this adjustment will not impact current residents, care, or valued staff roles. Orchard Manor remains committed to providing exceptional care with staffing levels aligned to meet the specific needs of its residents rather than the number of licensed beds. Orchard Manor administration will collaborate closely with state officials to ensure all necessary steps are completed to implement this change responsibly and comply with regulatory requirements. Orchard Manor remains dedicated to serving the community with compassion and professionalism and providing a safe, comfortable, and supportive environment for everyone in its care. The cast and crew of Riverdale's one-act play, When Bad Things Happen to Good Actors, advanced to the state competition. The group will perform Thursday night, November 21st, at 6:10 on the campus of the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. So good luck to the Riverdale cast and crew of their one-act play.
Attention Express Scripts patients of Boscobel and Center Pharmacy. Center and Boscobel Pharmacies have become aware that some of you have received notices stating you're out of network. Please don't worry. They're here to address any concerns. If you have questions, reach out to them directly. Rest assured, this situation is resolved and there will be no interruption in services to you. Center and Boscobel Pharmacies apologize for any confusion and appreciate your understanding during this process. Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy thank you for trusting them to care for you.
The forecast for today calls for temperatures to be up in the upper 50s with winds increasing up to 10 to 20 miles per hour this afternoon. It could get a little rainy. Some rain moving in this afternoon. A soaking rain possible tonight. A low of 50. Tuesday, rain showers ending and a high of 58. And then turning much colder. 33 Tuesday night and a high of 40 for both Wednesday and Thursday. Both days, scattered light rain or snow showers could happen. Right now in Richland Center, the air is calm after an earlier reading of 29 that followed yesterday's high of 50. It is 25 degrees.
Hello, everyone. Brian from Walsh's. Did you know that our Richland Center and Muscadet stores carry culverts? We have single or double wall plastic culverts, and we have galvanized ones also. We also have drain tile in 3, 4, or 6 inch diameter. And for the farmers, we have fencing supplies, water tanks, bale feeders, Munk and mineral feeders, and many more things. Stop in at our Richland Center or Muscadet stores to see these and many great products. And as always, we do appreciate your business.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll check some local and area notes coming up. Also, a look back at the weekend in state sport headlines as well.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
On the high school schedule, girls basketball can begin as early as tomorrow night. In the area, games tomorrow include Kickapoo at Hillsboro and Dodgeville at Evansville as well. It will be Ithaca traveling to Riverdale tomorrow night, and Iowa Grant is at Argyle-Pecatonica. Also, River Valley is at Lodi, Mineral Point at Lancaster, and Richland Center opens up at home against Highland tomorrow evening in girls basketball. The WIAA State Football Championships for 11-player will be held this week. Thursday morning at 10, the D7 game. Edgar plays Potosi-Cassville at 1. It will be Grantsburg and Lomira for Division 6. Division 5 title at 4th Thursday, featuring Stratford and Wrightstown, and the 7 o'clock Division 4 game has Baldwin-Woodville taking on Racine-St. Catharines. The tournament resumes on Friday at 10 a.m. in Division 3. Catholic Memorial will play Notre Dame. At 1 o'clock, Division 2 has Rice Lake battling Slinger, and at 4, Bayport against Muskego. Packers lineman Carl Brooks blocked what would have been a game-winning field goal as time ran out yesterday, helping his team escape with a 20-19 win. As the teams lined up, it looked like the Bears would finally break their 10-game losing streak against Green Bay. Quarterback Jordan Love had just put his team ahead with a 1-yard touchdown. Jaden Reed and Josh Jacobs also crossed the goal line, and wide receiver Christian Watson caught 2 long passes, gaining 150 yards on 4 receptions. Coach Matt LaFleur says the bottom line is just getting better.
It's just a mindset for me. It's just whether you got a young team, a veteran team, all you're trying to do is continue to get better each and every day and focus on what's right in front of you. And I think that's where our focus has been, just trying to find different ways to push our guys. And our guys have shown up with a great mentality and mindset and willing to work.
The Packers host the 49ers coming up for their next game on Sunday. Other games, the Chargers over Cincinnati in a high-scoring affair last night, 34-27. Detroit continues to hammer its opponents, 52-6 over Jacksonville. Indianapolis 28-27 over the Jets. The Rams 28, New England 22. Miami 34, Las Vegas 19. The Vikings got a win against Tennessee, 23-13. New Orleans 35, Cleveland 14. Pittsburgh over Baltimore, 18-16. Denver 38, Atlanta 6, Seattle 20, San Francisco 17, and Buffalo 30-21 over Kansas City. The Badgers led much of the game, pushing number one ranked Oregon to the limit on a 16-13 loss on Saturday. Wisconsin's defense, led by safety Hunter Wohler and linebacker Christian Lergo, was dominant. Quarterback Braden Locke connected with Will Pauling just before the half on a touchdown pass. The visiting Ducks finally took the lead back with 2 minutes to go on a 23-yard field goal. UW offensive coordinator Phil Longo was fired yesterday. Now, that was in Badger News yesterday, which was a bit of a surprise. Coach Luke Fickell talked about the loss.
You know, it's an emotional shot that we've got to be able to get over, and we got to be able to get over fast because, you know, we got 2 weeks of the season left, and there's two really big weeks of the season. We knew this was going to be like an NFL schedule that was going to be shot after shot after shot, and what that means is you got to have the maturity, you got to have the discipline, you got to have the depth as well to be able to take some of these shots and keep moving forward.
The Badgers will play at Nebraska for their next game. After 13 straight wins to start the season, the Wisconsin women's hockey team finally tasted defeat Saturday. 3-2 was the final. And men's basketball teams at Wisconsin and Marquette are back in action today, posting victories last Friday. The Badgers upset number 9 Arizona, 103-88, behind 41 points from transfer guard John Tanya. They welcome UT Rio Grande to the Kohl Center tonight. The challenge for Marquette is bigger as Purdue visits the Fiserv Forum. Both teams are undefeated. The Golden Eagles held off Maryland on the road Friday behind 28 points from senior guard Cam Jones. That's an update on sports today from WRCO. I'm Phil Nee.
Getting a great price is always satisfying, but enjoying quality service and already great auto and home coverage is the icing on top. Hi, this is Julie at State Farm.
Welcome back to our morning show studios and WRCO Radio. We switch gears a little bit, and we're talking about Park Street Christian Church here in Richland Center. Deb Niemeyer joins us as well. Deb, again, as Lorna said, first fundraiser here for the windows, and this is a pretty intensive project, isn't it?
It is. So we went looking online. We went looking for companies that did this kind of work and got multiple ideas on how much this was going to cost, from over $200,000 down to $149,000 down to $70,000. And so that's kind of the goal right now, is that we're pushing toward that, hoping that we can do all windows to the $149,000 tone. But right now we have it. And so, you know, we start in increments, and we'll hope that as we go, we can fix, especially those that are in desperate need.
So, give us a little history of the windows. How long have they been installed there at the church?
Well, we have some old stuff here from things that Eleanor Poole had compiled and then give to the Madison Historical Society. And it said that new windows were put in about 1945. So I don't know what that really means, you know, but most of them in the sanctuary and outside of, because I don't know if you know the history, but it was one little building that was our sanctuary now. And then they kept adding on, and as they added on, they had to take those windows out, and they put, if they were the stained glass ones, they put them someplace else in the new stuff. So you'll see the different add-ons that have stained glass in them also.
So, when you talk about restoration, then you got to carefully and meticulously, you know, so you're not going to break the panes and things like that. It's quite an undertaking, isn't it?
They have brought in crane things before with elevator lifts and stuff. And I don't know if you see our lighted cross at night, but that was just a big round, clear window that was up there, and then we bricked that in and put the see-through cement block light in there, and so at night that lights up. And we also had the other great big window. One was a 6 foot and one was an 8 foot round up there in the attic part, and we did have that one restored. And that was quite an undertaking too. I don't know, about 7 years ago when we did that one. But yeah, it can be, and you want the right person doing it. So we're hoping that this company will do us well, and yeah.
Is the goal to do it all at once, or just kind of step by step?
As we get the money.
Uh-huh.
You know, isn't that what it's always about?
Yes.
Is as we get the money. So the church has committed, though, to this first step that will be the $70,001. And Lorna mentioned that it was a $12 price, but we are nonprofit, so if anybody would want to, you know, make a larger donation at any time, we would accept that. And we do give out tax receipts, too, if they would need that.
Indeed. Let's talk a little bit about the history. I'm a little curious about the history of Park Street Church, and Ellen Keller Evans joins us. Your family, as I understand, were founding members. Is
one of the founding members, correct. There were 16 families that came here in the 1850s. And they were Clark, Miller, Ross, Bays, Babb, Crumbecker, Howard, Fox, Klingler, which are my ancestors, Whitecraft, Shambaugh, Glazer, Ray, Davis, and Jones. It developed from there. They were just meeting anywhere they could meet. They did meet in other churches. They were down past the middle school, which is what's called Science Hill, I guess, or has been called Science Hill. I don't know.
I didn't know that.
But the original building that they had, a building walking distance from here, actually, which is at the Pine River Cemetery. They had a church there. So that's why so many of the ancestors' names you'll recognize if you go through that cemetery. There are many of these names, the Klinglers and Snyders, that were buried there because that was their home base. So actually through my grandson, who is 13 right now, when he joins the church, he will be the seventh generation member of this church, if not eighth, because he's really, without my mom, Phyllis Keller, you know, mm-hmm. she's the one that really had a grip on all of this. But my grandson has really taken an interest in family history. So I called him the other night and I said, would you please help me starting back? He said, well, where do you want to start? And I said, well, I need to start with Orlo Klingler because he's also very interested in the cemeteries. And he said, okay, do you want to go forward or do you want to go backward? I said, Orlo Klingler was like in the 1850s. How can we go farther back? And he said, well, you know, his father, John Thomas, who married Sarah Sally. And I thought, oh my gosh. So he's really got his head wrapped around all of this, his family history. So I'm so grateful that he is interested in this. In fact, he talked me into coming up a year ago. And we had a list of cemeteries we needed to go through, including cleaning all of the stones for our families back eight generations. So we were busy, busy people doing this, but we're thrilled to have this happening now, to have the fundraiser for the windows, because it is such a beautiful, beautiful church, and it's so old. It did start, as Deb had mentioned, as just a little wooden church. Then over time it expanded, but they also picked it up and turned it a quarter turn so that the doors would be, so they could put a basement under it, the doors would be on the street sides, and that they could add on in the proper area. But they literally picked it up and turned it a quarter turn. Then they put the brick facade on the front, and we've had addition on that as the church family grew. But it's just so wonderful to know that there are still the eight generations here through our church, and the efforts that the church is now going through with Lorna and Deb to restore these windows. They're just gorgeous windows, but they need help. They really, really need help to be maintained and remain just as gorgeous as they are today.
So what year did it happen in Richland Center then? You mentioned it was in the Pine River area?
Pine River Cemetery, right. Literally at where the cemetery is, because I'm sure the church was there, and then they buried, as so many of the old churches did. They had their cemetery right there.
Right in the churchyard.
Just outside the church. Yeah. Absolutely, at the churchyard. So let's see. I can check my notes here. But 1867, when there was two congregations that combined, and they built on County O, right down here. So it's just amazing. I just love this historical part of it. And to know that we're still tied to the church, and that they are still working to maintain the beauty that our ancestors had intended. You know, they went to great efforts to make sure that these gorgeous, gorgeous windows in their place of worship was there. And now it's our job to maintain them and keep them as they are. But we need the help. We need the help to do it. We're not a huge congregation, so we really do need the help. And we're just thrilled that they're starting to do these fundraising efforts for the restoration.
You've attended since you were young?
Yes, because my family was there. My grandmother had her spot, you know, in the back pew on the corner, right on the end. Don't you dare sit there, because my grandma is sitting right there. Here she comes. But which was Phyllis's mother and her mother with her. So, yes, I have been there since I was born, and my family back. My parents were married there. And it's just kind of come full circle now that my grandson will be joining the church. So we're thrilled. But it was, 140 years ago? Next year it'll be 140 years that they've been there. But I was baptized and became a member of the church when I was 12. So if I was honest, I'd say it was about 55, 57 years ago. But, you know, anyway, a long time that I've been there. But our family's been there. We were there from the day we got out of the hospital.
Yeah, wow. I'm just really impressed that your grandson, where does he find all the information for the family tree?
He digs. And well, my mom had some. So sure. We have all, and she was so into the family history. So his great-grandma Phyllis, he was very close to her. So they would always share information, but he just dives into it, and he goes online, and I said, oh yeah, I know this, Jackson, I can tell you this. He goes, no, that's not right, because he can inform me with, it has to be online that he's finding all this, but he is so accurate. And then we'll go to the cemeteries, and he knows dates they were born. He knows the dates they died. He knows how many children they had and what their names were. So when I was speaking to him the other night about Orlo Klingler and Rachel, and he goes, and they had one daughter, and her name was Sarah Jane. And so he just goes on and on down the line. Oh, he is just amazing how he didn't even have to look it up. He has it in his head. So I'm just thrilled that he can carry on the family history, and not only the family history, but the church history. So to have him a seventh or eighth generation as a member of the church, it's just wonderful.
Yeah. You must be proud.
I am. And my parents would just be beside themselves.
They would.
They'd be so thrilled.
Yeah. Phyllis certainly would.
Yes. Yes.
And Deb, there are plates by the window. Some of the people that initially donated, are they going to stay the same then?
Oh, well, yes, they will, because they were the founders. They were the ones who gave. Mm-hmm. We haven't really put like stages of gift givers out there just yet. The thing is that it's an overwhelming project, first of all, and we want to give credit to those who did give of themselves at the very beginning. These names have been always a curiousness to me, because I wonder if there's other family members out and around the community, or someone knows these past family members that now my generation, you know, just can say, hey, we're so thankful that your past family members were willing to do this and give, you know, and sacrifice. Because let's face it, pre-1945 or 1945, I'm sure people didn't have a lot of money to just put stained glass windows in a church, but they must have been wanting to do that. And so there might be something coming down the line if people give a large amount that we would put another one. We're working on a membership roll right now, too, just to get that more updated and accurate, too. So,
did you want to mention some of the names?
Actually, sure. And if there's anybody out there listening that would know the, this says, in memory of Ellen Miller Turpine, and forgive me if I don't say him right, Mr. and Mrs. Edward B. Stevens, in memory of Mrs. Floyd Travers, in memory of E. Ross Snyder, and in memory of our boys in service, and in memories of Mr. and Mrs. Charles Keys. So that was Ellen's family.
Right, yeah, exactly.
The Keys family.
So if anybody knows of those families, they should contact you.
Thank you to your past members, you know, if they are into history, you know. Ellen says her grandson really gets into that, and people do generational things nowadays, and maybe they would like to just stop in to our fundraiser meal tonight and see the nameplates or maybe take some pictures, and we welcome that.
Yeah. Also, I just wanted to mention, too, that this is the weekend for Little Lamb's Closet and free milk and cheese. You guys do that. I'm amazed that you do that as often as you do.
Well, you know, COVID hit and there was a need. And so everybody was doing drive-bys. And some ladies, you know, said, hey, let's do something. And it has carried on since then. The community members are very appreciative of that. Lorna gets in on that on Saturday. It's coming up. We started taking prayer requests, and that is really awesome that someone will give a prayer request, and then a month or two, they'll say, oh, thank you for praying because this was a